This morning, we'll reflect on what it means to find our calling. People in the Quaker organization that Carol and I work with often speak about being called or led to a particular ministry. Today, I'd like to use that framing and consider what ministries we are being called to in this religious community, the UU Church of Meadville. By ministry, I mean to invoke a broader definition of ministry than we sometimes consider within our church context. Many of us, and I'll include myself in this number, tend to think of ministry as the work of a minister or the work of the minister. And that is one facet of ministry. But every minister, and I think this is to a person, every minister we've had in this church for the last 30 years has encouraged us to embrace a broader definition and consider the church's work as a shared ministry, something we do together. At its root, ministry means to serve. And so virtually all of the work we do to serve this community, both our individual contributions and our collective work to serve the larger community, is part of our shared ministry. Ministry within the church takes many forms. Developing and leading this worship service is part of my ministry, but that's just a small part of what creates our collective worship experience. The organizational ministry of the worship committee, the music ministry provided by Sharon and Amy, our choir, all of you who sing, the ushering and welcoming ministry, the flower ministry, the sound and live streaming ministry that Bill provides for us. We sometimes forget he's up there doing that, but Bill's there ministering to us, serving each Sunday. And that makes our service more accessible. And of course, there's the ministry of your presence. We could not have this worship experience without you. Your presence in and of itself is a ministry to this church. As a church, we are engaged in many other ministries, a meditation ministry on Wednesdays and Thursdays, a caring ministry to attend to the needs of people in our church community, an administrative ministry from your parish board, a soup kitchen ministry, an RE ministry, a coffee hour ministry. Coffee hour is a ministry, to name only a few. There are many ways we serve one another in this community. Our goal today is to consider how we might each find our own calling as part of our collective shared ministry. Not all of us are called to serve in the same way, and discerning our individual call can be challenging. One of the hard things for me about leaving paid work behind has been figuring out what to do with my life now. Paid work provided a structure and enough flexibility to pursue my passions or fulfill my purpose without having to consciously recognize what my passions were or define my life purpose. Having more flexibility is requiring me to think deeply about what matters to me and how to structure my days to bring more of what matters most to me into my life. In preparing for today's service, I've realized that I make a distinction between purpose and calling. For me, and this is not a universal thing, but I'd say for me it's a helpful distinction. For me, my purpose provides a general direction or a framework, and my calling or my ministry is the work or the specific actions I intend to do to live into my purpose. We can think of purpose as the reason we are here on this planet in this lifetime. My teacher used to say sometimes that, you know, we weren't put here to infest the planet, right? So what is our purpose? Why are we here? If you are uncomfortable with the idea that there might be someone or something that brought you into this world with some particular intent for what your role should be, you might think of purpose as your unique role in this world. What is it that you bring to our common table? And if you, you know, do a little Googling, you'll find there are lots of people and resources out there that will offer to help you find your life's purpose. And I've tried a number of their suggestions. One that's mentioned by a number of different people involves free writing. So in this exercise, you take a blank sheet of paper, or if you prefer to write on a computer, start a new document. At the top, you write, "My purpose in life is," dot, dot, dot. And then you start writing, one-sentence responses that complete that sentence. Number each one. And when you finish each response, start a new line and write the next one. Try and get closer to defining your purpose with each one. Don't stop. Just keep writing. Don't edit. Just keep writing. Just keep writing. One author suggests that you write until you have 50 sentences that attempt to define your life purpose. And by the end of that, you'll be somewhere, you'll be there. Another author suggests that when you get to the one that makes you cry, you have found your life purpose. He says most people will get to the one that causes such a strong reaction they want to cry within 30 minutes or so. Although some take longer, some less. He notes that people often reach one that creates an emotional reaction, but it doesn't make them cry. It creates something in them, some stirring. In that case, he suggests they're getting close, but they're not there. Keep writing. He encourages us to go for the one that brings one to tears, the tears of relief when we finally feel seen, we feel accepted. I like his open-ended approach, and I gave it a try, but I'll admit I stopped at 50. At 50, I hit one that provoked a really strong feeling of rightness, and it did bring tears to my eyes, although it didn't make me cry. I expect I'll try this exercise again and stay with it longer. I like what I wrote. Well, the purpose that I landed on was my purpose is to listen, to weep, to hold, and to let go. And I'm going to need to sit with that for a while to figure out what it really means to me. But it feels, for me, it evokes something, which is what our purpose should do. It should evoke that sense of rightness about telling us where we are. So I think the essence is there. But there's undoubtedly more writing for me if I want to really find that purpose. So having gained some clarity about my life's purpose, I don't actually know what my calling is. Like, what is it? Okay, so that's what I'm here for. How exactly am I going to live that out? Sometimes a calling is a deep intuitive knowing about what our next step is meant to be. For example, when I was in my 20s, I went through a pretty difficult time. I was not in a good place personally. I would say that I lost my way. I started looking for something to bring me back to myself. And when the opportunity to serve as an Outward Bound instructor in the Boundary Waters of Minnesota presented itself, I jumped at the chance. The wilderness was calling me home. My life changed as a result. Other callings have not been so life-changing, but important nonetheless. A few years ago, it became clear the church needed someone to step up as board president. I knew that it was a role I was equipped to fill. And so I sat with the question of whether I was being called to be president. It wasn't a question of whether I should serve as president. It was a question of whether this is the ministry I was being called to offer in that moment. It's worth noting that to hear our calling, we need to find moments of stillness, soul time, as the reading initially described. The cacophony of our daily lives can make it difficult to discern the voice of our calling, the work that is right for us in this particular moment. We need soul time, time when we just listen. Many speakers in this pulpit have shared their experiences with stillness and listening and finding times when our minds can be quiet so that we can listen is an essential task if we are to find our calling. The distinction between a calling and a should is important. We have the opportunity to serve this in other communities in many ways, and our social conditionings and expectations of ourselves might cause us to see some of those opportunities as things we should pursue. Rather than deciding which ministry you or someone else should be pursuing, note the opportunities to serve as they become available. There's always opportunities to serve. There are many, many. And then sit with the question of whether that is something you feel called to pursue. Take the time to listen to your inner voice, your inner wisdom. As you sit, you might ask whether this is something that needs to be done, whether it is something you feel equipped to do. Though many would say that it doesn't matter if you feel equipped or not, if you're called, the tools will come. Whether there are others who might do it, whether you could serve in that role joyfully and with an open heart, and whether it is something you feel called to do right now. Burnout and bitterness and fatigue are the inevitable result of taking up a ministry because you believe you should be doing it, or staying with a ministry when we are no longer called to do it. Answering the call to ministry can be challenging. Ministries can be hard work. But the end result is fulfilling and joyful, not burnout. Following our calling is the path to a fulfilled and joyful life. Healthy communities support their members in answering the call and do not pressure one another to answer a call they do not hear. To be sure, it's not always clear, and this is hard. It's not always clear when we are feeling called to take up a particular task. Ministry can be challenging, and it can ask a lot of us. It can be tempting, often very tempting, to ignore our calling. At the same time, our families, our friends, our social conditioning can encourage us to do things because we should. And sometimes we can interpret that as a calling. It's hard to discern when we are feeling called and when we are responding to a should rather than to a call. This is where our community can help us. I encourage you to share your questions about calling with one another. And when someone else is sharing their questions about calling, I encourage you to listen deeply. Help hear what they're saying. Our goal as listeners is to hear, to be present to listen. Our goal is, our task in this case, in helping someone finding a calling, is not to answer their question. Our goal is to hear their question. So we sit with one another. Our shared ministry grows out of listening for our own calling and assisting others in finding theirs through listening, which is a ministry in and of itself. The beauty of shared ministry is that it is, in fact, shared. There are many ministries to which we could attend, and we are not all called to do all of them. In community, we are responsible for responding to the call when it is our moment to step up. And we trust that those in community with us will listen to their own calling and attend to those things we are not called to do. We trust that what must be done will be done. And I will recall for us the image of the trapeze artist from the opening reading. There are two roles on the trapeze, the flyer and the catcher. The flyer must never, ever try to catch the catcher. The flyer needs to jump, put their arms or body in the agreed upon place, and trust that they will be caught. Just as we must let go, allow our calling to lead us, and let the community catch us. If the flyer tries to grab for the catcher, the flyer will likely fall. The flyer's role requires significant preparation and readiness to be in the right place and in position to be caught. But once they jump, it's up to the catcher. Many of you have provided feedback to the board to help us understand the work that is needed to build a stronger community. As I mentioned in the service opening, over the next few months, the board will be seeking help to do that work. In preparation, I encourage you to spend some time, some soul time, reflecting on your purpose. Perhaps you want to try the writing exercise I described earlier and then consider what ministries you are called to offer. As you reflect on our ministry, please also acknowledge the shared ministries we already support. Thanks to you and your ministrations, we already have a vibrant community. We are not seeking to overcome weaknesses, but to build on the strength that is already there. There is nothing we or you should be doing, only what we are called to do. Finally, I encourage you to remember that the greatest service any of us can provide is the gift of presence. Your presence in this community matters. Your presence here today matters. Whether you're online or in person, your presence matters. Your willingness to be present to your calling matters. Thank you for heeding the call and being here with us today. Blessed be, and amen.